Welcome back to our Tanakh Study Center series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's show, we're studying Perek Chavtet, Chapter 29. Our series is in conjunction with the OU and its Nach Yomi project. Let's begin with Pasuk Aleph. Ele divrei ha-sefer asher shalach Yirmiyahu ha-navi mi-Yerushalayim. These are the words of a book and a letter that Yirmiyahu had sent from Yerushalayim. El yeter zignei ha-gola ve-la-kohanim ve-la-navim ve-chol ha-am asher aglan ne-vukad-netzah mi-Yerushalayim bavela. A letter sent to the remainder of the exile that was sent into Bavel, including the elders, the priests, the prophets, and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had sent to Yerushalayim in the first wave of exile, which is called Galut Yechoniah. Recall as well that Navi Yechezkel was exiled together with that group. When did Yirmiyahu send this letter? Soon we're going to see. Achrei Tzeit Yechoniah HaMelech V'Gvira V'Serisim Sari Yehuda V'Yerushalayim V'Charash V'Mazger M'Yerushalayim. After the exile of King Yechoniah, and the Gvira, most likely that's the queen mother, the mother of the king. Vasarisim, the king's helpers, the ministers of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and the industrialists, the Harash and Mazger, the artisans and the craftsmen, all the important people from Yerushalayim, that's the group that's in Bavel. Listen to the letter that Yirmiyahu sends. Postal service isn't so common back then. However, there's diplomatic postal service. There's official letters being sent between King Tzidkiyahu and the king of Bavel. Because recall, the king of Bavel appointed Tzidkiyahu as his puppet king in Yerushalayim, and therefore, Yirmiyahu is going to send this letter in diplomatic mail. B'yad Elasa ben Shafan u'Gemaria ben Chilkiya, asher shalach Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda el Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavela lemor. The people taking mail were Elasa, the son of Shafan, and Gemaria, the son of Chilkiya, and this was mail that was sent by Tzidkiyahu to Nebuchadnezzar. What we would call diplomatic mail. And just like nowadays, someone's taking a letter to Chutz Laretz, you ask him, can you please take this letter for me, and can you give it to my friends in the diaspora? Pasuk Daled. Listen carefully. This is one of the few nevuot of Yirmiyahu that people actually listen to this day. Pasuk Daled. Kol ma Adonai tzvot Elohei Yisrael, l'chol ha-gola asher igleitim Yerushalayim bavela. This is the message of God to the entire exile that God had exiled from Yerushalayim to Bavel. Pasuk Hey. Bnu vatim v'shevu, build houses and settle down. Nitu ganot, plant vineyards, plant orchards, etc. Plant your gardens. Vichluot piryan, meaning plant trees and eat their fruit. Not only that, pasuk vav, chunashim, get married. Validu banim uvanot, have children. Uchuliv nechem nashim, marry off your children. Vet benotechem tu lanashim, marry off your daughters. Vetelana banim uvanot, prosper there, have children. Good old pru urvu. Urvusham altimatu, grow there as a community. Don't say it's all over. Continue to grow because, as we'll see, you are the center of the Jewish future. How about politically? What should you do? Should you rebel? Should you wait? Pasuk Zayin. V'yidrshu et shlom ha'ir asher igleiti etchem shama. Act peacefully with the local authorities in the place that you're being exiled to. Don't fight against them. Follow whatever they tell you to do and act kindly with them. V'yitpalu ba'da el Adonai and make a mishaberach. Make a prayer for that community to God, because if it's quiet there, it'll be quiet for you. Ki bishloma yelechem shalom. If Bavel has quiet politically, then you have quiet politically. What's the reason for this message? Pasachet. Ki cho ama Adonai tzvot elhei Yisrael, al yashiu lachem nivyeichem ashir bikirbechem, v'kosmechem. Don't let your prophets, who are among you, we'll see the prophets, many of the prophets, what we call the false prophets, were also exiled to Bavel, the most important ones, we'll see. Don't let them mislead you. Don't listen to their dreams, asher atem machlimim, that everyone's dreaming about. Not only were the prophets in Yerushalayim predicting the imminent fall of Bavel and everyone's return, also the prophets who were exiled to Bavel, everyone's encouraging the people, in 2 more years, it's all over. Yirmiyahu explains why. Ki sheker heim nibim lachem bishmi. They're saying these things in my name, but they're saying it falsely. Lo shelachtim numadunai, I never sent them. And now it's crystal clear, as we mentioned before, what it means in Navi Sheker, someone claiming to represent God, making up a prophecy in God's name that God never said, even though his intentions are good, and he's not telling them to worship other gods, he's telling them to worship the God of Israel, but he's giving a message, more so a political message, in God's name, telling the people that that's what God wants them to do. How does Yirmiyahu counter that? Now Yirmiyahu has to explain what is the message of God. Ki cho amar Adonai, ki lefi melot lebavel shivim shana efkor etchem. Indeed, I'm going to bring you back, and God has not abandoned you in exile. God will redeem you one day and bring you back. But when? Only after Bavel's 7 years are over, meaning the 70 years that began with the fourth year of Jehoiakim, only at the completion of those 70 years will God bring you back, as the book of Ezra explains. Then indeed I will fulfill my good word, my promise to bring you back here. All the Nevi'im agree that they're coming back. The only question is, will it be in 2 years or in 60 years? Let's go back to what Yirmiyahu told the people. Yirmiyahu tells the people, build houses, settle down, plant orchards, plant trees, marry off your children, build houses, don't live in tents. In a nutshell, don't live out of the suitcase. If someone knows he's only temporarily in a certain community for a year or two, and he's hoping that in a very short time you're going back home, what's the point of planting a tree? Planting a tree, building a house? Those are things that take several years until you begin to see the fruits of your labor. And therefore, an act of showing that my residence in exile was permanent, or at least more than several decades, would be building a house, marrying off your children, building a community. If someone believes that redemption is right around the corner, then why bother with all that? Simply wait. Live out of a suitcase, and just wait every day for your imminent return. You can imagine the anger that the people have when they hear this note from Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu sends this letter representing God to the community in Bavel and telling them, as we explained before, that you people are now the center of the future of Am Yisrael. And it's your community that will bring the redemption, but it's going to take a long time. We're going to see later in this chapter that this letter gets Yirmiyahu in so much trouble, not only in Bavel, but also in Yerushalayim. As I mentioned earlier, maybe not then, but in the future, this is one of the few prophecies of Yirmiyahu that people have followed for several thousand years. Now Yirmiyahu has to explain why God is doing this, and also he's going to explain when and how redemption will take place. As we'll see, chapter 29 is going to be one of the key prophecies that will explain what's going to happen in the Second Temple period as well, and there's a lot that we can learn from it. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki anochi yadati et machshavot asher anochi choshev aleichem nu madonai. God's saying, don't think that all this is just evil and exile and destruction. God's saying, I know I'm sending you to Bavel. There's a reason for this. Machshavot shalom v'lo l'ra. I'm doing this for your good. It's for peace and not for evil. Letet lechem acharit v'tikva. So there'll be hope and continuity for the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu is saying, the reason God sent you there is for your good, because you're the future. We know this with historical hindsight. Yirmiyahu saying it at this time is a bombshell to the people. For the first time in Jewish history, the center of its people are on the diaspora. Even though there's a community in Yerushalayim, and there's still Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Yirmiyahu sends this letter claiming that the community that went into exile, they're the future. He said it previously in chapter 24. We said most likely it's the same time period as now. And no doubt that is also the message of Yechezkel, his colleague, in Bavel itself. But now Yirmiyahu is going to add something, a caveat, that don't think that when the 7 years are over, automatically you're going to be taken on a magic carpet back to Israel. Pasuk Yud Bet. There's a condition. Ukratem oti valachtem. You need to call out to me, and then you'll come. Bitpalaltem elai, v'shamati alechem. You need to pray to me, and I'll listen to you. God's saying it's not as soon as Bavel falls and the 70 years of Babylonian sovereignty are over that automatically you'll return. I'm sending you this letter, and teach this letter, and pass this tradition to your children and to the next generation that you're going to bring up there, that when the time to return comes, it requires the desire to return. Pasuk Yud Gimel, a famous pasuk, u'bikashtem oti u'mitzatem. You have to look for me, and then you'll find me. Ki tidrushuni b'chol levavchem. You have to search for me with your entire heart. You can't just sit back and wait, and God will do everything for you. There has to be a true desire among the people to indeed return to God's land, to become His people, to do things right this time. Then God will get involved and bring you back. And then, Pasuk Yud Dalet, V'nimtzeti lechem num Adonai. I'll be there for you, if you have this right attitude. V'shafti et shvutchem, I'll bring your exile back. V'kibatzi etchem mikol ha-goyim u'mikol ha-mekomot asher idachti etchem sham num Adonai. I'll bring you back from all the places that I exiled you to and dispersed you to. God's saying, V'ashivoti etchem el ha-mekom asher igleti etchem misham. And I'll return you to the very same place that I exiled you from. Meaning, I'll return you back to Yerushalayim and to Yehuda. This letter has tremendous meaning to the community in Galut. Clearly, people don't accept it right away. However, after Yerushalayim is indeed destroyed, and people in exile realize that there is no hope for Yerushalayim, then everything that Yirmiyahu writes in this letter becomes the foundation of their whole approach and their candle of hope that indeed one day they'll return. Pasuk Tehvav is a little complicated. I'll explain to you how most of the commentators explain it. Ki amartem hekim lanu Adonai nevim bavela. You're saying instead that God sent us Nevi'im in Bavel. Here they're talking about the people who end up being the false prophets. Even though you're saying that we have prophets in Bavel who are predicting that in a year or two we're returning back, and these prophets, as we'll see very soon, are saying that the exile is returning to Yerushalayim, and the community in Yerushalayim won't be destroyed, and everything's going to be good again. God's saying now the opposite, Pasuk Tetzayin. Ki cho amar Adonai el hamelech ha-yoshev ha-kisei David, ve'kol ha'am ha-yoshev be'er hazot. This is the word of God about the king in Yerushalayim, sitting on the throne of David, and to all the people in the city of Yerushalayim. Achichem asher lo yatzu itchem begola. Your brethren who didn't go with you into exile, this is God's word about the remnant in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yitzayin. Ko amar Adonai tzvot, hinini meshaleich bam, et acher v'et arav v'et adaver. Your brethren in Yerushalayim, and you're hoping to return there, don't get your hopes up. You're much better off in Bavel, because those in Yerushalayim, they're going to be smitten by sword, by famine, and by plague. V'natati otam kateinim hashoarim asher lot te'achalna miroa. And they're going to be like those bad figs, as Yirmiyahu explained back in chapter 24, that no one wants to eat because they're so rotten. V'radafti achareihem, I'm going to chase them, God says. Becherv barav v'daver, again with sword, famine, and plague. Untatim lezava l'chom ha'mechot ha'aretz, it'll be a horror in the eyes of all the different nations. La'ala u'l'shama v'lishreka u'l'cherpa v'chol ha'goyim asher yidachtim sham. Their destruction and dispersion will be so severe and so horrifying that it will be a disgrace and a shame to all the nations around about how bad the fate of Yerushalayim was. Why is this fate happening to them? Pasuk Yotet, verse 19, Tachat asher lo shamu et dvarai, num Adonai, because they didn't listen to me, asher shalachti elehem et avadai hanavim hashkem v'shaloach v'lo shamatem num Adonai. I warned them over and over again. I sent Yirmiyahu, and it seems that there were other true prophets, warning them to improve their behavior, not to rebel against Bavel, to accept this decision by God, to focus on Tzedek u'Mishpat. They didn't want to hear it. All they wanted to do was rebel and return to their sovereignty. Therefore, Pasachaf, Vatem shimu dvar Adonai. You, in the exile, listen to the word of God. Kol ha'golah sheshilachti mirushalayim bavela. Here's God's word to the entire exile that God sent for the good of the Jewish people to Bavel. Kol amar Adonai tzvot elahi Yisrael, elachad ben koleya, del tzidkiel ben maseya, hanibim lachem bishmi shaker, hineni noten otam biyad nebuchadrezzar melech bavel, vikam leinehem. This pasuk, we have to read it carefully, assumes the reader is familiar with a very important point. There's two prophets now, but Yirmiyahu calls Nevi'e Sheker, who claim to be Nevi'im of God. Their names are Achab ben Koleah and Tzidkiel, the son of Maseiel. And they're saying falsely in God's name that Bavel is going to fall and that the exile is going to return. Pretty much what Hananiah ben Azur is saying in Yerushalayim. We see all the prophets, the ones in Yerushalayim and the ones in Bavel, were predicting a return very soon. And it's these leaders of the Nevi'e Sheker that Yirmiyahu is complaining about. And he's sending this message from Yerushalayim to the people in Bavel, don't listen to these two prophets. And he's making a prediction now what's going to happen to them. God's going to deliver them in the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Bavel, and they're going to be smitten by him, meaning they're going to be caught. Now, why would Nebuchadnezzar want to arrest and execute two rabbis? Why would he take two Jewish Nevi'im, making whatever prophecy they may be making? Why would Nebuchadnezzar want them killed? One simple reason. If the rabbis in Bavel are making predictions of the imminent fall of Bavel and the return of the exile to Yerushalayim, in essence, what these rabbis are saying is they're encouraging the people to rebel against Bavel and predicting that Bavel is going to fall. No monarch is willing to accept that. So it looks like Nebuchadnezzar has people listening in to the drashot and shul in Bavel as well, and these two prophets are going to be arrested and killed. And that's what's going to happen very soon. They're going to be killed in such a way that it'll be a horror and something that people will curse each other by. Pasach Habet. V'lukach mehem klala l'chok galut Yehuda asher b'vavel lemor. They're going to be the example of cursing because their punishment will be so bad that the entire exile will use them as an example of a terrible punishment that someone received. And they'll say, Yisimcha Adonai ki tzidkiel u'cheachav asher kalam melech bavel v'esh. If someone would want to curse their friend, they would say, God should give you the same fate that tzidkiel and achav had because they were roasted by the king of Bavel in fire. When the king of Bavel found out what they were saying, he had them arrested, he burnt them in fire, he roasted them, and that's how they met their death. That was a public act that everyone saw, and therefore everyone would say, if they had an enemy or someone they were angry with, they would say, you should have the same fate as Achav and Tzidkiyahu, these false prophets. What did they do wrong? Chaf Gimel is very tricky, and there's two ways to understand it. What was their sin? Why did God punish them? Yan asher asu nevala b'Yisrael. They did an abomination in Israel. By nafut neshei re'ehem. They committed adultery with the wives of their own friends. By dabru davar b'shmi sheker. And they also made a false prophecy in my name. Asher lo tzivitim. A prophecy that I didn't command them. V'nuchi ha'yodea va'eidnu madunai. And I know the truth. I know what I said. I know what I didn't say. And these prophets said things in my name that I never said. And they also committed adultery. This brings up a major question about how to understand a pasuk like this, which pretty much affects how we understand who these Nevi'i Sheker are. Is Yirmiyahu claiming that in addition to these prophets misleading the people, making these political predictions in God's name that God never said, encouraging the people to rebel against Bavel, was that their only sin? Or in addition to that, are these people also so bad that they're committing adultery with the wives of their colleagues? The simple pshat of the psukim is that they're bad in both realms. They're both adulterers and false prophets. It could be, though, when Yirmiyahu accuses them of committing adultery, it may be understood that someone who breaks their trust with the covenantal partner is like adultery. Just like a husband who cheats on his wife is breaking the trust of a covenant, so too these prophets who had been trusted by God, who are supposed to be representing God, when they're saying things in God's name that God never said, that may be compared to some type of adultery. There's two ways to go with that. We'll never know for sure. Again, simple pshat is that they're evil in both realms, but there is a possibility that Yirmiyahu may be exaggerating to make his point. In the context of this parak, which seems to be attacking primarily their false prophecies and misleading the people, it seems more like the latter explanation, even though the simple understanding of the pasuk is that they committed adultery as well. Now the parak concludes with one last exchange of letters, and here we're going to see that not only were letters being sent from Yerushalayim to Bavel, the rabbis in Bavel were also sending letters back to the rabbis in Yerushalayim, trying to control what's happening in the Beit HaMikdash. The wording here is rather tricky, but when you read between the lines, you have a beautiful picture of what things were like in Yerushalayim at that time. Let's return now to Pasach Avdalet. Ve'el Shmayahu ha'nechlami tomar lemor. Here's a specific message to the Navi, whose name is Shmayahu. His last name, I think it's okay to say, it seems to be made up. Nechlami means the dreamer. Shmayahu the dreamer. Chalom in Hebrew is a dream. Ha'nechlami, the dreamer. Here is a message to the Navi, Shmayahu ha'nechlami. Pasach Afei, Kol ma Adonai tzvot elahi Yisrael lemor. Here is God's message to you. Yana she'ata shalachta b'shimcha sfarim el kol ha'am asher b'Yerushalayim, because you, Shmayahu, in exile, had sent in your name a letter to the people in Yerushalayim, and not just to the people in Yerushalayim, to the leaders of the people in Yerushalayim, specifically, Vel Tzfaniah ben Maseya ha'kohen, Vel kol ha'konim lemor, you sent instructions to the Kohanim, to the priests in the Beit HaMikdash, giving them specific instructions about what to do with Yirmiyahu. When Shmayahu heard this message from Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu had sent in diplomatic mail, and heard that Yirmiyahu was encouraging the people to settle down in Bavel, that it's going to be 70 years, they should build houses and create a community, the leader of that community in the exile didn't like what he was hearing. And now Shmayahu is going to write a letter back to Yerushalayim and tell the people, how can you possibly allow Yirmiyahu to continue to talk in public? In other words, the Jews in the exile get this letter from Yirmiyahu, and they're up in arms and asking, how can the Jews in Yerushalayim allow someone like Yirmiyahu to continue to live? Now we're going to get a quote of the letter that Shmayah sent to Yerushalayim. And this person, Tzfaniah ben Maseiah, was in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, and he was appointed by the Kohanim who were exiled. Recall, high-class people were exiled, and when they left, they had to give over the positions to the people who were staying. Listen to Chavav, and we'll see that change of power. Adonai netancha kohen, tachat Yehoyada kohen, liot pkidim beit Adonai, l'cho ish mishuga umitnabe, v'natata oto el ha'mapechet v'el ha'tzinok. They wrote as follows. You, Tzfaniah, you were appointed to replace Yehoyada kohen, who used to be in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, and it was your responsibility in the Beit HaMikdash to be in charge that there shouldn't be mishugaim, crazy people, and false prophets misleading the people in the Beit HaMikdash. You're in charge of decorum in the temple, and you have to make sure the crazy people don't go around giving crazy messages to confuse the people. And if someone does this, what should you do? V'natata oto el ha'mapechet v'letzinok. If someone is found doing this, it's your job to put him in jail. Either this mapechet, some type of jail cell where possibly you put someone upside down, and a tzinok, nowadays that means solitary confinement, but it's your job to imprison anyone who speaks like this. And now he continues, Pasach Chaf Zayin, Vata, and now, Lama lo ga'arta b'Yirmiyahu hanatoti? Why haven't you done something against Yirmiyahu from Hanatot? Why haven't you screamed at Yirmiyahu the prophet and punished him for giving these prophecies? This is what he sent to us in Bavel. Arukahi, he's telling us it's going to be a long time. This exile will be lasting for many years. Benuvatim v'shevu, he's telling us to build houses and settle down. Nituganot, dichlut prihen, plant orchards, eat their fruit. The leaders in Bavel, one of them being Shmayahu Hanechlami, was sending a letter to the Kohanim in Yerushalayim, imploring them to do something about Yirmiyahu. Why? Because Yirmiyahu was sending us letters that were supposed to stay in the diaspora. What happened when Tzfani got this letter? Tzfania, who is now in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, read this letter in front of Yirmiyahu, and based on this letter, the rabbis in Bavel are now commanding the rabbis in Yerushalayim to arrest Yirmiyahu. Let's see what God tells Yirmiyahu. God tells Yirmiyahu, send a letter back. Send this letter back to the Jews of the diaspora and tell them as follows. This is God's word to Shmaya the dreamer. Because this Shmaya is making prophecies in my name that I never said, I never sent him, and he's giving the people false hopes. Therefore, here's the word of God about Shmaya. Hini poker al Shmaya nechlami v'alzaro lo yelo ish yoshe b'toch amaze. I'm going to punish this man Shmaya and his offspring. None of his offspring will live among this people. Lo yirev tov asher ani oseh laminu madunai. His offspring won't see the good, the return 7 years from now when I'm going to bring this exile back from Bavel. His offspring won't be there. Ki sarah diber al Adonai. Because he's spoken perversion against God, meaning he's left God, he's not been loyal to him, he's saying things in God's name falsely, and therefore he's going to receive this punishment. That's not only the end of chapter 29, this is the end of an entire unit that began in chapter 25 that focuses on Yirmiyahu's prophecy that Bavel will be in power now for the next 70 years, and that's God's punishment to his people for not listening all the rebuke that they've heard for the last 23 years. It's this key and critical event that began in the fourth year of Yehoiakim that has ramifications throughout the next 18 years until the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. It follows two waves of exile, the exile of Yehoiachin, and then later the exile of Tzidkiyahu and the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. These stories also form the background for all the controversy between Yirmiyahu and the false prophets, why Yirmiyahu is so angry with them, and why he's also so angry with his position, where he has to be the bad guy, making these predictions that no one wants to hear, and that's why Yirmiyahu's life and career are so tragic and sad. After all these prophecies of doom, finally in chapter 30, in tomorrow's shir, we're going to finally begin to see prophecies of redemption. The famous Nevuot of Nechama of Yirmiyahu begin in chapter 30. From chapters 30 through 33, we'll see primarily Nevuot to focus on Nechama, on redemption and comfort, whereas up until now, most of the prophecies have been primarily about destruction and Churban.